It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Rodgers back to pass. Blitz coming, and he's dropped for a safety. A.J. Epenesa beat the doors off Carter Warren. Back to pass, has time, looking, throws deep over the middle. Picked off by Christian Benford. Coming the other way, 35, 40. To the near sideline, 45, and forced out of bounds.
I thought it was great to see, you know, CB get that pick. Thought he had a chance earlier for one and to reset and be able to come back and get that pick. Big play for us.
It's Mike Shope.
Pocket collapsing, throws down the right sideline, looking for Cooper. What a catch by Amari Super Cooper with a leaping 30-yard touchdown reception.
And the Bulldog.
We didn't really pay attention to the preseason notions, but we heard them and we saw them and we knew what people were saying, but had no effect on us. We just came in the training camp and tried to work as hard as we could.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We saw them. We knew them. We didn't care. We noticed them. We didn't listen. We heard them. Didn't affect us. Josh Allen and the Bills on this Football Monday. Welcome. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year. Want to keep the conversation going at 803-0550. I've got Eric Wood today and Sal Capaccio as well, much like last week where Wednesday was the holiday. Our schedule, theirs, is a little different. So Sal will probably be on tomorrow too, and things get truncated a little bit. But much of what we could have had to debate today has already been settled. You know, like the conversation about resting players, I mean, they didn't need to be thinking like that yesterday, and they weren't. Everybody played all out, win the game, clinched the two. That's what happened. And now this game is basically like a bye. Not quite like a bye. You have to play it. But I feel like Allen will probably play just a small handful of snaps to keep his streak going for consecutive starts. And after that, it'll look like somewhat like a preseason game looks. I think James Cook, if you want to debate this, is an interesting player to talk about with that in mind, like who plays and who doesn't. 15 rushing touchdowns. I could see it go either way, where Cook doesn't play at all, or he plays a lot with a, you know, a lean toward that record. You are playing a Patriots team that, if it loses, would have the number one overall pick, which on some level that should matter to somebody over there. Maybe not, you know, you're starting outside linebackers, but I would think that New England might break ties against, well, Drake May. If you watched the Patriots-Chargers game on Saturday, pretty early in that game, he took a headshot and left the game, and I immediately went, all right, well, here goes this, because I was kind of looking forward to this game. I had picked New England, you know, plus 4.5, on the picks on the show, and thought it would be an interesting test for the Chargers. Then May goes down so early. Why would they put him back in? But they do, and they still lose 40-7. So that's a second concussion, I believe, for him. And with number one overall on the line with a loss here against a Bills team that probably won't play its big guys here, I'd be scared to win it if I were the Patriots, which makes the plan I've had for a couple of months to go to this game that much more exciting. Does either team bother to try to win this game, you know, in the traditional ways? So you've got New England here. Who plays, who doesn't is a topic. We have the playoffs, of course, and who that first opponent will be. We know now that if the Bills are going to win the AFC, either somebody else is going to have to win in Kansas City, or they are. And nothing you can do about that quite yet. Denver is interesting here. I don't see Denver as, like, scary at all, but I say that just, you know, relative term. Would you want to play, you know, you're going to play somebody, and anybody could beat you. Denver is the last team to beat the Bills in Buffalo in the regular season, that Monday night game last year. Bills go undefeated at home this year. So you've got Denver, Miami, or Cincinnati. Cincinnati, for me, has always been the scary one. You might not agree, but the Bengals will need to win and have Denver and Miami lose to get in. And if they get in, they get that spot. It is interesting that the two AFC North games are on Saturday. And there almost always will be an argument against whatever gets picked, you know, probably if it's going to be meaningful. Can you set it up in an island game where other teams can't benefit from knowing how you did? That's pretty tough. But I think it's fine. So you'll have Cleveland at Baltimore first. Baltimore wins the AFC North and the three if they beat the Browns. They're an 18-point favorite, which is almost as high as an NFL line ever gets at home against the Browns. They have to compete. If they had put the Ravens and Steelers games on simultaneously, say Sunday at 1, they would still have had to compete there. So I don't think that really is too meaningful or, you know, controversial at all. This way, maybe the Steelers, if the Ravens win on Saturday, the Steelers might not feel it necessary to go all out for their game. They're already in the playoffs, and they'll either be the 5 or the 6. But what would you say about that? 5 is at Houston, the 4. 6 is at the Ravens, the 3. Would the Steelers prefer the Ravens? I think as much success as they've had against Baltimore, I would doubt it. So I think they want to win the Bengal game. And the fact that the Broncos and the Dolphins, you know, the Broncos situation doesn't change just from Cincinnati. I think it's fine. I think it's good. And I thought of this too, and I want to bring this up with Sal later. The Ravens and the Steelers, not the other two AFC North teams, the Ravens and the Steelers are both already on long rest. So you move them up a day, and I think what maybe matters more is that they could end up playing next Saturday in the wild card round. And this way the league avoids putting those teams on short rest for that game. So that's something I was thinking about before the schedule came out last night. So you've got the two AFC North games on Saturday and the Bills and the Patriots from New England Sunday at 1. 803-0550 for your calls. I hope to hear from you off of yesterday. Yesterday was one of those parties, wasn't it? Of the Josh Allen years, where you're just sort of reveling in the Bills' dominance. And you're playing Aaron Rodgers, who can't get anything done against your team, and that's a really satisfying win. If not super important, it's important enough, but that is a really satisfying win, I think. Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Thinking about, really, I think this is maybe the story today. There's always the playoff possibilities. There's the MVP. There's who to rest and who to play, whatever you want to do this week. I just wanted to take a minute to just contemplate and talk about how dominant, fully dominant, this team has been in their division in these last, well, it's 5 years, right? This is a fifth consecutive AFC East title. And they have just taken everybody apart. What is the outlook for the other three teams at this point? You have the Dolphins, who still have a chance to get in, but they have clearly not been on the Bills' level when it's mattered in the past. And this year, you know, twice, it was a long time ago now, but when they had their chances this year to change that script, they couldn't do it. So Miami is a level below. The Patriots are multi-levels below. The Patriots had, however, a 20-year run of their own just prior to this that is still relatively recent. Still, what is their outlook? That was my question, I think. Their outlook is Drake May and maybe another coaching change already. That seems weird with the Patriots and what they might do there. There could be another change. And they still need a lot more good players, a lot more talent on offense, to say the least. And then you have the Jets, whose outlook is, I mean, it's down there. If they're going to make, they probably should. They'll make a coaching change again. They should change quarterbacks again. It's fun to think that they may not. It's fun to think that they might want Rex Ryan back. I was wondering, you take the three other teams in the AFC East and ask yourself, which of these three teams is the most, to put it one way, owned by the Bills right now? Miami with the playoff losses and the close, good job with Miami in these last few years. The Patriots are still figuring out a new future after the Brady era. The Jets yesterday, what is that feeling like right now? You know, just collectively, the fans, whatever. The Jets had to watch, just like the Bills did, Brady just owned them for two decades. The Jets did have the 1 year, which the Bills didn't, against New England, and they went to the playoffs and beat them, and that had to feel good. And then that died quickly. So at least they had the one moment. But they had all those years with New England, very similar to the Bills, all those years, the butt fumble and all the just meaninglessness of the Jets' seasons. And then Allen shows up here, and the Bills move in on New England's space. They take over the division. They start lording over it like this. The Patriots still have the fairly recent past to try to cling to. The Dolphins have been pretty good. The Jets have nothing. And they make the move for Rodgers, which is, hey, we'll try anything. You know, we need somebody. Yes, he's old, but he's an all-time great. We can do this. I supported it. I mean, I thought it made sense for the Jets to make that move. It has not, ready? It's not worked out. But I think, you know, I could have justified that. And it's just made it from bad to worse. You know, the Jets, who were already kind of nowhere, they take this gamble. And now they're here where you don't even know if Rodgers won't be able to force his way back and just sort of continue this charade. It is really fun to watch him lose. It is really fun to watch him just get buried in that backfield and have the Bills yesterday just dominate them. I think of the three, and this is, of course, debatable. I think of the three, it's the Jets are the one who should be like just the most completely emasculated and humiliated by what the Bills have come to be in the AFC East. And there is no, this all three of them might have in common, there's no clear way out. I mean, the Jets can find their way to the next quarterback hope, whoever that might be, in the draft. At, by the way, on that, this is also just a way that their situation is not enviable, to say the least again. At 4-12, that's the seventh pick. I mean, what should 4-12 ever be at worst in the draft? And, you know, maybe they'll lose this week. They have the Dolphins, and maybe that'll get a little better. But there are four. It's good at the top of the draft order. There are 4-3-13 teams: Patriots, Titans, Browns, Giants. The Giants went and won yesterday. That was smart. And then you have Jacksonville, Carolina, Jets, Raiders, Bears, all at 4-12. New Orleans feeling like it's so smart at 5-11. That is the 10th pick. So that's not easy for New York either to figure out. And that would just be, if we had some sort of a ranking of fans and, like, how good do you feel? What is the Jet thing? Longest drought in the NFL, the Rodgers debacle, and then, I don't know, 10-point underdog. They've been feisty against the Bills last few years. We'll see. And just complete annihilation. 40-0 at one point. Yikes. Which AFC East team has had it the most with the Bills? I think the Jets are my pick. The Dolphins are a good argument, too, because of the playoffs. I mean, it might be worse to have been close. Just like, there's just nothing to make you feel any pride at all with the Jets right now. So enough about them. One of my worst predictions ever, thinking that they would be good, and they're terrible. Football Monday on WGR. Here's Anthony. Hello.
How you doing, Mike?
Good.
Mike, of course. I want to avoid the Bengals in a wild card. They've given the Browns, you know that. I want to avoid the Bengals at all costs.
Well, there's a good chance you'll be able to. Okay, thanks, Anthony. Yeah, I mean, the Bengals need to beat Pittsburgh and then have Denver and Miami both lose. That's how they get in. I don't disagree. I just, you want to avoid them, so would I. I was talking on my one of my podcasts earlier, ADP Chasing. Davis Maddock joins me with Pat Corain, and Davis is a Chiefs guy. And we talked on the post-game show yesterday about Chiefs-Denver and how, of course, I mean, Mahomes is going to sit, probably Kelce. The Chiefs have nothing. They're interesting, though, for this because they will have the following week off, and maybe you could look at this another way. But, you know, they're going to, of course, they're 9-point underdogs. I mean, nobody's expecting them to play their main starters against Denver, which means if they lose, Denver is in. And my guy Davis was like, wouldn't you rather have, if you were the Chiefs, wouldn't you rather have the Bengals go to Buffalo? Not that you can really fully control that. Wouldn't you rather have that? And I said, well, yes, but if they win, then you get them too. Like in that, the Bengals have been tough on the Chiefs in the same way. Here's Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Hope you can have a good new year. Fun yesterday, everything going great with the Bills game, and I had bet Josh to have 2 touchdowns running and 2 touchdowns passing, and I was so excited when they had first and goal from the one, and then they gave it to Cook. But otherwise, I just think the Jets have become the laughing stock of football. I mean, the amount of money that they're spending on guys. I mean, Devontae Adams next year is $44 million on the cap. Rodgers is still another $23 million on the cap. They've got a few very good football players, but as a whole, their team is just the laughing stock. They're, you know, bad coaching. I mean, you fire your coach after 2-3, you bring in an interim coach, you fire him. It's just, they've become a laughing stock, and it's I love it. I personally love it. 14 years, it'll be 15 years next year.
Right. Thanks, you too. The one thing about, like, I'm not a culture guy, but when you're desperate, like they kind of always are, it's just, like I said, I would have done it too. It's maybe a little bit too tempting to, so to speak, sell your soul for guys. And so Rodgers, all right, well, maybe he can still play, and I don't have anybody better, and I'm in New York. So let's do this. But what it also meant was surrendering to some extent, at least. I mean, people think it's to a full extent, surrendering control over your roster to him. And now you've got, and that extends all the way into this year and the Adams trade, which they made when they were like 2-6 or something like that. What, something like that. Like they were not in win now position and they still traded, you know, draft capital and money for Devontae Adams. And Devontae Adams, he was just okay yesterday, but he's been pretty productive for them, and it has meant nothing. So now what do you have? Now you have Adams, the caller mentions his cap number, but he's at least going into the offseason, he's still a good player. All right, well, I might want to keep him, but if I don't, what does that mean for Rodgers? Like, can I keep Devontae Adams and not keep Aaron Rodgers? It sounds like maybe you can't have both because they want to be together. And they've got Garrett Wilson, who is about as good as Adams, if not better. And he's young. And he doesn't get along with Rodgers, reportedly, again, just like on some level. So you've got this rift and this obligation. And everything, I would think Brandon Bean would tell you this, everything you want to avoid as an organization is giving up, kind of like losing control to a player, the players. And what they need now, which seems obvious, is somebody just to come in and not care about any of that. Well, speaking of the Jets, like the way Parcells would have and did with the Giants and then later with the Jets. I'm going to be in charge of this, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and that's what you get when you get me. I don't know. Is he still around? Would he be interested? Let's hope not, maybe. Like that's when it's like really off the rails. And I probably didn't appreciate when the Jets got Rodgers that it would, you know, if you will, sink to that level, because there still should be management and ownership, and enough people, you know, in power positions or, quote, power positions in an NFL organization that would preclude that from happening. But it doesn't look like it did. He goes out week one last year anyway, misses the year. And then this year has just been worse, actually. So if we were they, that's what I would be. You know, it's maybe like the Sabres a little bit. Forget about everything that's happened. Drop any sense of obligation you have to anyone or anything. And go get, if I own the team, go get somebody who can run it, that has credibility. I'm going to have to spend money on this. One reason why the Sabres have never done it. But I'm going to go spend money on a guy that can get me off the mat and at least to the middle. And the Jets continue the longest playoff drought in the league, sitting at 4-12. Like they're not even what the Sabres were 2 years ago, like seemingly on the cusp of something. Well, the Jets are always fun to laugh at. The Bills have scored 30 or more points in every game since the first Jet game, but one. And that was last week against New England. That's pretty good. They're not in every one of these games, including yesterday, running up huge yardage, huge plays. And so with that, for me, and this is also true of Kansas City, but Kansas City has the added benefit of the doubt of three rings. That's what the playoffs, that's what makes me not concerned, but that's what I'm asking myself about this Bills team and the playoffs, is the efficiency enough against other good, efficient teams, better defenses, better everything? Is that enough to carry them? Because we have not had, like, we're all waiting on Amari Cooper, right? Maybe not everybody, but that's one thing last week that I brought up a few times and fans did too. It was like, wouldn't you like to see Amari Cooper convince you that he is like embedded in this, that he's their wide receiver one? He made a play yesterday, but there have just been not many plays. The Ram game, when he had tons of targets, is it when it comes to volume. And that doesn't have to be a problem. Like, they're winning almost all these games, and that's the one game they didn't. And so you have game script like yesterday. The Allen's out by the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. I don't know. But that is something that I still have been saying forever and would still say, man, I would love to know that I have that in the playoffs, that I have 6 for 80 and a touchdown from Cooper, whoever I'm going to play. And we don't know that. Like, there's still a team that has been able to run it fine and find different guys, different things. Could be fun to try to figure out who will be the player in this game Sunday to score the receiving touchdown that hasn't scored one yet this year. Like, that came up yesterday and in postgame, how I think the Bills, I think Allen would like to see one more guy get up to their record or the record, whatever it is. This is not a record I grew up caring about. But I guess they're one player away from having, is it 13 different receivers catch a touchdown pass this year, which would mean something? Now, who should that be? Pick somebody for me. 803-0550, Football Monday. Thoughts on yesterday, the playoffs, the strategy here against New England, who to play, who not to play, anything along those lines. I want to just look around, love this time of year in football, the NFC playoff picture, the possibilities this weekend in the AFC, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Ravens, all those teams. And Saquon Barkley, now at 2,000 yards, 100 away exactly from the all-time record. They, like the Bills, are locked in as the two. What do you do with Saquon Barkley? And maybe it should be up to him. I saw on Twitter somebody tweet that about Cook, that maybe it should be up to Cook. What would you do on that one if you were Sean McDermott? Leave it up to the player? That's tricky. 803-0550, again, is the number here. Bulldog is off until Thursday. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening. Football Monday. Eric Wood at 4 today. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
I mean, it was 33-0. We were sitting there, and I said at some point, probably go to Tyrod here, huh? And then the next play, they threw a screen for a touchdown, so it's 48-0.
Aaron Rodgers in flames. The Jets buried by the Bills yesterday. They put Taylor in, just saying 40-14 ends up the final there. How'd you like the sequence early? This game was not a blowout from the beginning. Bills take the ball after winning the coin toss. Not my favorite idea, but they make it work by a long 7-8 minute drive for a touchdown for 7-0. And the Jets do their part, move the ball up to around the 20. And you have a 3rd-and-1 play where Braylon Allen is the back. And Rodgers, I don't know if it's RPO when it's Aaron Rodgers. He did roll right, so I think probably. But puts the ball in Allen's gut, pulls it out. Allen just had the first down. I mean, that was not even going to be close. He ends up getting tackled 3 yards downfield or something. So anyway, fine. Rodgers keeps the ball, rolls right. Could run for the first down, but that's not in his bag anymore, usually. And instead has a wide open tight end down inside the 10 and throws it at his feet. And then, what? Throws his arms up. 4th-and-1, they get stuffed, by the way, if I need to include that. Just sort of classic stuff there from the Jets QB. Laughing stock might be right. 803-0550 for your calls. So we also have the MVP debate that is, some would say, mercifully nearing its end. I've enjoyed it. I think this is always a fun conversation when it's close. And last year it was like this. And this year it has been mostly two. Not as many candidates this year by the end of it. When it just became, for about the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's only been Allen, Jackson, and then maybe Saquon Barkley. Right now, Joe Burrow at BetOnline actually has moved above Barkley, with Barkley already being over 2,000 yards. But Burrow leads the league in everything, like yards, touchdowns, 42 touchdown passes, attempts, completions, just a hugely prolific season for him. He won't win. I think it's Allen's, because at this point, and I want to say every time, the betting markets are not necessarily the vote, right? We're looking at, it's not even a poll. The Bet Online has not polled the voters, you know, what they would do now, like in an election or something like that. But I do think Allen wins it. And I said this on postgame too. I'm not super proud of this point. But so Tony Romo, announcers almost always drive me nuts. Maybe this one does for you. Just because one thing that they seem to always kind of do or often do is equivocate. You know what? We just want your take. Can you find your way to a take? And on the MVP, Romo just didn't really want to take the question. And ultimately, he said something about, paraphrasing, look, Jackson has won this award twice. It's time for Allen to win. And while I'm just sort of a strict thinker that wouldn't want to open that door up, you know, in this analysis, but I do think it's normal to, and it might even be fair to. The biggest complaint I've gotten tweeted or emailed at me about the MVP stuff in defense of Allen, who again has been the favorite, I'm not sure what you're too worried about, but has been how Jackson last year won the award with a better team record, but not better numbers. Allen had the picks last year that didn't help him sort of fit in with his rep a little bit. And this year he's done amazingly to change that. So the idea was, or is, that Allen deserved it last year. Maybe if Jackson deserves it this year, just individually speaking, it's only fair that each guy win. And again, like, that's not how I like to analyze, or do, I don't want to do it that way, because the award isn't supposed to, it's not supposed to care about what happened in the past, but I guess I think it's okay. And there's an argument for Allen anyway. Like, you don't need to settle for this stat, you know, et cetera, puts him second this year. I mean, what, net yards per play? I think he's number one. His team does have the better record this year by two games, which is maybe similar to last year the other way around. Anyway, so I think he'll win. I don't think he'll be, you know, marked down for not playing very much against New England. Jackson will have the Saturday game. I guess it's possible that if he has another blow-up game for the Ravens against Cleveland, that some are going to want to talk about whether Allen should play against the Patriots, but I just wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want it to work like that either. Like that, to me, the most important thing is get your team right for the postseason. So take your chances with this vote. Lines are open here. Football Monday. Let's go to Scott next. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Mike. Help me. Help me remember what happened at half. Because I remember I was screaming at the TV about not using the timeouts that we had. I know we had three. We had the ball after we stopped them. And it was almost like instead of taking a shot downfield, if I'm not mistaken, we just kind of ran down the clock and ended up kicking the field goal. Didn't we have time there to maybe take a shot?
I don't know the details. Maybe I'd have to look myself. The second quarter of that game yesterday for me is a long time ago. But I'm looking at my notes. I've got the safety. I've got 1:31 left. This was a game with a lot of penalties. And it's another one of my pet peeves, as you may know, because I say it a lot when announcers start to rag on the number of flags. Twice yesterday, CBS got into, oh, another penalty. And both times when they did that, they picked up the flag. Almost like, you know, they were listening. Was it a penalty? Show me the ones that aren't actually flags if you're going to go complaining about how there are too many flags. There were a couple. I'm looking at my notes since you brought the second quarter up. There was a hold on Spencer Brown that I couldn't believe that took away, but they'd already called a couple on the Jets, so here is one against the Bills. Didn't really look like holding to me. And Allen drew a couple of roughing the passer calls that I thought were hilarious. He's right there to complain to the official, even if it's just with his face. Like, put the palms up, point. He's become somebody that's maybe getting kind of addicted to that. And, you know, it works, but not my favorite trait in an athlete. So what happened in terms of timeouts or anything like that? The last thing I have here is Shakir drops an Allen throw where he's being taken down, and that's pretty much it. So I guess I can't help you. Alex is next. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
You know, I think yeah, you can't underscore enough the point on signature plays that Allen has. I just feel like his signature plays far outweigh Burrow. I think it's really a Burrow-Allen conversation at this point, but I think Allen has the signature plays in the primetime moments. So that's my comment on the MVP. And then a quick thing on the touchdowns by Keon and Cooper. I just feel like I don't have any data to back this up. I'm just curious. I feel like we don't do that a lot. And maybe it's defensive coverages and everything, but like one-on-one opportunities for Coleman there and Cooper is like, I don't think we've seen a lot of those plays this season. Do I have it wrong?
I mean, I don't know compared to the rest of the league. The Cooper one is different from the Coleman one for me. I mean, the Cooper one is a one-on-one play along the sideline. The Coleman play is across the body, almost like a desperate heave that felt like, let's just show everybody how Keon Coleman can outjump anybody. When you're watching that, I said this yesterday too, when you're watching that play on TV, you have no idea what Allen wants. Like, he is running right, and he's throwing back left into the end zone. It's almost like a Hail Mary sort of pass. And you see a Jet defender, and then another one, and Coleman comes from off the screen and just outjumps. Did anybody else even jump? They were, like, surprised he was there or something. Just, the Jets are so bad. So that's not, to me, like, an example of this kind of play. The Cooper one would be. Do the Bills do less of it than other teams? I guess I wouldn't know. Pete is next. Hi, Pete.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just had a quick question about, I love the idea about everybody eats, but I'm interested in your thoughts because it, you know, if we're to be honest, I mean, most of the guys are just getting crumbs. You know, they're not really getting their fill. And I'm just wondering about how do you make that sustainable? Does that impact Josh's ability when he's got 6, 7, 8, 9 receivers to establish rapport or to understand, you know, each receiver's tendencies? Like, is there a strategy? It's one thing to say everybody eats, but I'm hoping in the back room there's a strategy to sustain this.
I think it makes everything harder. The Bills have talked a lot about how it's easier in a way because there aren't personality conflicts. And maybe there's a point about that, or even balance, that it makes them maybe more hard to predict on their offense. But I prefer, that's why I never really bought into this idea, and it's hard not to anymore, but the playoffs are going to decide it. I prefer feeling like I've got an option that you almost can't stop. And that's been Kelce with Kansas City. It was Diggs, but it wasn't so much Diggs by playoff time, certainly not the last couple of years. And that's a part of how their seasons got away from them, that they did not anymore, and maybe it's why they got away from Diggs, but they did not anymore have the go-to, this is what we're going to do on third and six. The closest thing the Bills have to that is Allen leaving the pocket and going on third and six, and he almost always makes it. So, great. But I don't have what Cooper Kupp was the year the Rams won. And then and Chase, of course. Then that number two guy. Then we've talked a lot about that on this show, the importance of having the offset to that when you're playing teams that know you so well and are among the best in the league. And this is maybe where the Bills can, to put it one way, get away with it. Because, again, they're not easily predictable. Where is the ball going? So that's a different kind of challenge, obviously, for a defense than when you feel like you know that. On this play, we're going to double A.J. Brown, right? Like, that's what you're going to want to have to do here. The Eagles have Devontae Smith, and they win all the time. So that's what I think. I know it is. That's what I'm looking forward to about the playoffs. Whether it's Denver, if they're good enough to challenge this, well, it'll be a playoff game. But then it's certainly going to be the games after that. What can the Bills, whether that's Baltimore and or the Chiefs, who is going to be my guy? And the closest they've had as a receiver to this has been Shakir. But it's still like just okay when it comes to the stats. And he's dropped a couple recently, which is rare for him. I want it to be Cooper because there's the highest upside with him. But no, like the caller points out, they haven't established one player for this. It's kind of been the mantra this year. They are 13-3. So to say the very least, so far, so good. What will that be in the playoffs? I am already, and have been, if not obsessing about that, certainly thinking about it. Eric Wood coming up at 4. It is Football Monday. Thanks for the call, Pete. This is Mike Shope on WGR. As we go today, this week, it's presumptuous, but a lot of what we do is, been talking about resting players for 6 weeks around here and playoff matchups. Think the players are getting questions about who the Bills would like to play in the playoffs? No, that's what we do. So that's, I'm saying this is okay. I'm giving myself permission to say this one thing. I want to hear some Broncos takes. Got to watch them on Saturday. They're plucky. That's probably not something that sounds like a compliment. I'm not sure I really mean it as a compliment. Do you buy in on Denver? Pretty likely that the Broncos are coming next week. And I'm thinking that's going to be a Sunday afternoon game. I have it in my mind that one reason why the Ravens and the Steelers are both playing this Saturday is because they'll both be playing next Saturday, maybe against each other. But that's a little bit easier on them. Rather than putting them into a short week in the playoffs, which I think the league would always try to avoid, would hope to avoid. Anyway, are the Broncos good? So it felt right for them with Kansas City winning on Christmas. And even with Denver's loss, doesn't end up being like that massive, because if they win against the backup Chiefs at home, they'll be in. It's the 2004 Bills, though. I mean, it's, I think the Steelers were the same, what, 14-1. It might have been that year. Chiefs 15-1. So you never know, 20 years later. But still, like, Denver is more than a touchdown favorite at home against, presumably, Carson Wentz and Kansas City. And, you know, so that's a nice break. Probably should be a nice break. What do they mean to us, though, the Broncos? Does last year's Monday night game that Denver won really mean much at all? That was Russell Wilson. Maybe defensively there's something to take from that. Pat Surtain, he's a guy that, he's like the number one guy, I think, right now. It's not Sauce Gardner. this year. Maybe it was Lattimore when he was in New Orleans. Surtain, I think, has become like the number one, arguably anyway, shutdown corner in the NFL. And that's not so bad for the Bills. Like, if you're going to play the way they do, you don't have that particular concern that, is he going to take away my whoever? That's a tough matchup for a team with a shutdown corner, a team that plays the way the Bills do. So there's him. Their running game is just different guys every week that don't really do much. It's Bo Nix. I mean, I don't know why I haven't mentioned him yet. Rookie Bo Nix is taking them to the playoffs, almost definitely. They have to lose and have other Dolphins or the Bengals win their games. They're not in yet. But that's a pretty good job for the sixth quarterback taken in the first round, a record this year. And he just did not have, as you'll probably remember, you might remember, he did not have a lot of support for being a mid-first round pick, Bo Nix. It was kind of wild that they would do that. Same with Penix, who played last night. He's promising, too. The rookies, ironically, the one who was picked first, other than McCarthy, who got hurt and didn't play at all for Minnesota, would be the one where maybe you'd have the most questions. He just gets sacked all the time, and it might be a dysfunctional team, but he hasn't come close to doing what Jaden Daniels has done, what Nix has done. Then you have Drake May, who looks like a talent, but they don't beat anybody, New England. And then you have, again, Penix, who's just gotten back in there. Very tough loss for Atlanta last night. Caller mentioned, and I failed him because I didn't remember the details, the Bills at the end of the second quarter yesterday in a huge win. How about Atlanta with the not using the timeout? If you stayed up for it, like 30 seconds to go in a tie, and Penix hits maybe London for 25 or so yards to about midfield, and they had multiple timeouts, and they just decided not to use them and then ran out of time. Missed a long field goal at the end of regulation, losing overtime. To Zach Ertz, congrats to you if you had Zach Ertz in your championship week lineup. Good job. I wonder if Eric Wood did. Talk to Eric after the break. It is Football Monday. I'm Mike Schoep, and this is WGR.